Wrecked by the Spike, read by Myfic. The fandom Stargate Atlantis, the pairings John Rodney, the ratings explicit. Summary: aliens are always asking them politely to do it.
You be the death for me. I've got my mind made up in this twisted love. From all that I can see, you'll be the death. The death of me. I know that you'll be the death of me.
As blowjobs went, John didn't think it was his finest. Not that he blamed himself entirely. There was only so much even he could do with a cold audience, a cold stone altar, and a really unhappy-looking partner. But still, if he were honest, even under the circumstances, it was just adequate. Fast, efficient, and a little bit ruthless at the end, when Rodney's rigid, petrified silence filled his brain with the unthinkable thought of failure and its usual consequences. Actually a pretty mediocre blowjob by any standard. But it had worked, hadn't it? Rodney had come in his mouth with a nearly silent shudder, and John had transported the gift to the offering bowl on the other side of the altar and deposited it there, where it had been whisked away by a woman in a grey Gathasian power suit to be nodded over and whispered about by the delegation. Crouching there on the end of the dais, John had swallowed and wished for a tic-tac, and risked a glance at Rodney, who hadn't moved an inch, who was still backed up against the altar, eyes closed tight, fly open, hanging on as if his arms were the only thing holding him up. Really not that good a blowjob. Really not that good a day, all told. "McKay," he stage whispered. Nothing. McKay had his lower lip firmly between his teeth. His knees had apparently buckled at some point, but he wasn't trying to get his legs under him. He wasn't doing anything, except maybe starting to sag a little to the left. So, okay, maybe a really bad blowjob. The sag became a definite slide floorward. "Rodney!" He was on his feet and across the dais just in time to stop Rodney from hitting the ground. Hands hooked under McKay's armpits, hoisting him back up the stone plinth. McKay wasn't helping at all. He felt damp and hot under John's chest. Not actually unconscious, though. John could feel him flailing vaguely. Bracing Rodney against the stone with his hip, he pushed him back to get a look at him. McKay's head flopped forward onto his chest unhelpfully. "What's wrong?" John asked in a low voice, trying to peer into Rodney's face. "Nah," McKay said, informatively. "Did I hurt you?" "Nah." This time the "nah" was accompanied by a floppy headshake. Not entirely convincing. Still, how bad could it have been? He'd been damn careful with the teeth. But Rodney was sliding down again, and John was starting to think things like shock and trauma and, "Damn it, McKay, come on, stay with me." Rodney jerked a little, seeming to get a little steadier. "Fine," he mumbled. "Souls." "How about in English?" John said. "Nah," said Rodney again, a little more emphatically, maybe even annoyed. That was an improvement. If you could just get Rodney to take his own weight back. Which Rodney did with a sudden lurch backward, his head coming up so fast John had to jerk backward to avoid getting his nose broken. "Hey, careful, you could," he started, but then Rodney's face was right there and Rodney, cheeks flushed, mouth soft, eyes, what John could see of them, under heavy lids, nearly all pupil. He looked completely wrecked. John hadn't been particularly turned on with Rodney's cock in his mouth, but suddenly everything turned over in court, like an engine coming out of a stall.
"Hurt somebody,"
he finished in a cracked-sounding whisper. "Nah?" Rodney said, and then abruptly shook it off, apparently starting to come back online.
All right," he said, pushing to his feet. "Get off me."
John backed off. Rodney swayed a little but kept his feet, fumbled at his fly. John resisted the urge to help tuck him back in, and after a second Rodney got it anyway. A change in the whispering around him finally got John's attention, and when he turned to the stairs, the guy they called the Velna was coming up toward them, flanked by the power suit ladies. The Velna was smiling, both his hands extended, palms down. This, if John remembered right, was the good sign. He extended his own hands, palms up, and he and the Velna slid their palms together 3 times, which seemed to break the ice like a house on fire. Suddenly there was light and laughter, and the whole delegation was up on the dais with them. He was embraced by the Velna like a brother, or possibly something else, because even though he didn't have a brother, he was pretty sure that kind of goosing was out of the line for siblings. The Velna released him, then slung an arm around John's shoulder and guided him back toward the stairs. "Good fortune smiles on us," the Velna said, beaming. "Never have such fine omens been read in an offering bowl." "Well, that's great," John said. "We aim to please." He looked back over his shoulder to see whether Rodney was following him. He was, stumbling a little, his hands shaking off the proffered support of, first, Taylor on one side of him, and then Ronan on the other. He looked cranky, but still out of it enough for John to get that kick again. Half worry, half annoyance, and yet another half that was just a burst of white heat low in his gut, maybe somewhere south of the 49th parallel. Rodney wrecked. Who knew? Then the Velna was talking trade, and John focused on that, because it was his job and it was important. The trade negotiations went fine. Nothing decided, but plenty of goodwill established, and many potential avenues of mutual interest explored. There had also been very good food. Roast bird, tubers, green and orange vegetables, passable cider. John probably would have enjoyed it more if he hadn't procured it through consensual, but maybe not as casual as he'd thought, oral sex with his chief scientist. Rodney was quietish on the walk back to the jumper, but he seemed back to what passed for normal. John could hear him talking with Ronan off and on. Not the words, as they were a ways behind him, but the tone. It didn't sound like a loaded conversation, but it didn't sound like the usual McKay monologue of doom either, so it wasn't 100% normal. Taylor had their 6, so he couldn't get a read from her. He wasn't sure exactly what he was worried about. It wasn't as though they hadn't both agreed to it. It wasn't as though he hadn't been called on to trade sexual favours for goodwill himself more than a few times in the past. Of course they always called it respecting intercultural parameters and local religion, and it was that too, but also the other thing. And it wasn't really about them, and they all knew that, so Rodney had agreed to it, not totally without enthusiasm. He hadn't been asked before, and John could tell he was partly flattered, maybe even a little relieved. He was clearly nervous, though. John got that. He'd made it very clear it wasn't anything he was going to order Rodney to do. "But you'd do it, right?" Rodney'd said. "You have done it. With the Okus and the Sophisthians. Oh, and that time on MX2, 821, in the room with the bat things. That was weird. And I know Taylor's done it. And Ronan probably still gets thank you cards from... Rodney, you don't have to. It's okay." "No, no, I want to." Rodney sounded so sincere, he abruptly turned pink. "I mean, not want to, of course. Not with you, anyway, or not that there's anything wrong with you, obviously." John had thought about mercifully cutting him off, but decided this was just way too much fun. Rodney apparently saw that too. John figured his grin was the giveaway. Rodney said, "Thank you," with a lot of sarcasm, and shut up for a while. They'd walked a bit more. "Is it the guy thing?" John asked after a while. "Hmm?" Rodney said, distracted by whatever he was reading on his LSD. "You mean the gay thing? Hot man-on-man action? No, not really." "Hot man-on-man action?" John repeated incredulously, but Rodney carried on, oblivious. "It's not so much the guy or the gay thing as the whole sex in front of an audience thing, in general. It's fine for fantasies. Again, not that I... never mind. Anyway, No, I mean I'm a smidge higher than a solid Kinsey 2, sliding up past 3 on the Klein sexual preference scale, so I'm not averse. Just, you know, it never came up. Okay, John said. They walked a little more. It wasn't me kissing Carson. I didn't say a word. You were thinking it, though. He hadn't been. Now he was. The difference is, Rodney went on, just as if someone had asked him, that any objection I might have had to that would have been A, Carson-related, and B, body-hijacking-related, and C, in front of my boss-related. So you're saying you didn't object? Well, yes, of course I objected. Weren't you there? John was beginning to wonder. He shrugged like Rodney was paying attention, but of course he wasn't. They travelled on in relative silence, Rodney humming occasionally at his readings, free associating his way through the aches and pains checklist, and otherwise creating a kind of verbal white noise that John had come to find strangely comforting. He only missed it when it stopped, and he brought his P90 up, infinitesimally more alert. But it was only Rodney, coming to terms. There is, he said, not lifting his eyes from the scanner, a small amount of performance anxiety. Oh, said John, neutrally. He tried not to go there himself as a rule. Trust Rodney. Not that, you know, there's hardware problems, just when you take something new out for a test run and everybody's watching, it doesn't always gel right away. And they might have expectations that you could actually see the village from here. It was large, almost town-sized. They'd probably have decent beer substitute on tap. They just needed to get this going. Rodney, he said, an edge of impatience sneaking into his voice. No, I'm fine. Fine, really. Doing it. Fine. Great, said John. Taylor came up to them at that point to remind them of the finer points of the offering ceremony, and then they were meeting the delegation, and there was no more in the way of actual conversation after that. The post-mission debriefing was short, sweet, and as usual, hedged around the issue of intercultural spooge exchange with a number of specifically Elizabethan euphemisms. The Atlantean part of John sometimes wondered if they should actually be keeping a real record of these encounters. The part that thought that someday he might want to go back to Earth and not get thrown in Leavenworth forever just made him want to smack himself upside the head. Rodney seemed more or less himself. He was always a little twitchy in debriefings, especially during the parts where they were not talking about some kind of weird sex act that somebody might or might not have had to participate in to secure trade. John didn't notice him being any pinker or twitchier when it was him they weren't talking about. They moved on, after a while, to actually talking about the future trading prospects, and were eventually done. "Is there anything else?" Elizabeth asked. "Rodney?" "What?" Rodney looked up defensively from his laptop. "Why me?" "Because you usually have something to say," Elizabeth said. She frowned pleasantly. "Is everything okay, Rodney?" "Yes, of course, it's fine. It's great, it's super great." Rodney made a face like he really wished he hadn't said that. Then he stood up and closed his laptop. For a minute he just hovered. Everybody waited. "It was pretty great," John said, deadpan. "So, we're done?" "I guess we're done," said Elizabeth. She looked puzzled but not worried as Rodney zipped out the door. John gave her what he hoped was a reassuring shrug. Taylor gave a close-lipped smile as she too rose to her feet. Ronan rolled his eyes and walked by John to get out of the room. John caught up with Rodney in the corridor that led past the labs. "So," he said, matching Rodney's stride. Rodney looked at him, looked away, clutched his laptop to his chest and stopped dead. "Hey, I have an idea," he said tightly. "Let's pretend we're, men. Men who don't talk about their feelings. Okay?" "Okay," said John. "Okay," Rodney started walking again. John walked along with him. He waited until they'd passed the labs and turned down the corridors that led to the nearest transporter. "Feelings, huh?" he said, as Rodney pushed the button. "Shut up," said Rodney. "Okay," John said again. They got into the transporter together, and John pressed the button. White light surrounded them, then subsided. The doors opened onto another corridor. "Look, it's not personal, okay?" Rodney said as they walked.
"Sure," said John.
"No, really," Rodney said, stopping again. It's always like that."
"Really?" said John.
"Really," said Rodney. "It's embarrassing. You go shocky on one girl during finals in your freshman year and another during rush week, and you get saddled with a reputation that haunts you through 3 postgrad degrees. I was like the Flying Dutchman of the dating world. No one wanted to take the risk. I'm lucky I didn't end up with a complex."
"Lucky, yeah," said John.
He waited. "This is my room," said Rodney. He was backed up a little against the door because John was standing too close. "That was probably the worst blowjob I've ever given anyone, anywhere," John said. He wanted to stand even closer. "I can do better." Rodney swallowed loudly enough that John could hear the click in his throat. His cheeks and nose were pink, his breathing fast and shallow. It was really amazingly hot.
"I'll probably stroke out," Rodney said. His voice was glum, but his eyes were huge and nearly black.
"I know CPR," John said. "I'll revive you."
His hands were already starting to wander over Rodney's shirt.
"Oh," said Rodney weakly. "That's good."
John kissed him, right on the end of the word good, catching the buzz of the D on his tongue. Then he kept kissing because Rodney was fantastic. The door opened behind Rodney, who pulled back enough to say, "Unless you need..." He gestured with his head at the empty corridor, which could, at any moment, become not empty.
"Nope," said John. "Not my kink at all."
They moved into Rodney's room and the lights came on, and the door closed behind them. Somewhere along the way, the kiss started up again. It was a very good kiss. They kissed around John divesting Rodney of his laptop and his jacket and his belt, then around Rodney pulling John's T-shirt over his head and opening the top 2 buttons of John's BDUs.
"What is your kink?" Rodney asked.
The kiss hadn't really stopped. It was just wandering about along John's jaw to his ear, where it temporarily broke into nibbles. John drew in a sharp breath at the way the teeth ungently grazed his lobe, gasped when Rodney bit down. "A talker and a biter. Kind of perfect."
"Did I say I had a kink?" John managed.
His hands were low on Rodney's back, and he slid them down onto the waistband, cupped Rodney's ass and squeezed, pulled Rodney in hard. They both groaned at the contact. The kiss started up again, a little messier this time, in counterpoint with the slow grind of their hips. Somehow they found the bed. John held onto Rodney all the way down, and Rodney arched up into him when he touched down on the mattress.
"Fuck," Rodney said. "You're really strong."
"Yeah," said John.
"Work for you?"
"Surprisingly," said Rodney. "A lot."
"Good," said John.
The kiss continued. More clothing was sacrificed to the floor. Rodney ended up in just his T-shirt. John hung onto his sock. They rolled one another over more than a few times. John ended up on top. He couldn't stop kissing Rodney, couldn't stop rubbing against him and stroking him and feeling him arch and fall against him. He was in that place that was just on the edge of close. He could have stayed there for a while more, except for the sounds Rodney made. Choked sounds. Strangled sounds. Sounds that Rodney couldn't bear to let out, couldn't stop from breaking loose when John pushed up his T-shirt and took a flat little nipple in his mouth, sucked it into a hard, tight point. Rodney almost broke on it. He groaned low and loud and then tried to clamp it down behind closed lips.
John used his tongue inside the suction. Rodney gulped air with a sob, groaned again. It was fucking beautiful.
You're killing me, said Rodney.
Not yet, said John, breaking the suction but keeping the nipple between his teeth. Soon, though. He bit a little harder, then moved on, mouthing his way down to Rodney's belly. Rodney sucked air again, twisted away.
Whoa, he gasped. Ticklish.
Really? Said John, interested.
Don't you dare, said Rodney, this time trying to curl up.
Some other time, maybe, John said, soothing with his nose, his cheek. He moved the kiss down more, mouthed the fleshy point of a hip bone, nuzzled into the warm, hairy crease. They were sideways across the bed by then. It was easy to pull Rodney's legs down off the side, slide down to the floor between them. Rodney's cock curved up emphatically, shining with pre-cum, vibrating with need. John considered his options.
How long can you last like this? He asked.
Are you kidding me? Rodney's voice was high and a little crazed. His hips were already making tiny, helpless thrusts into the air.
John made a command decision. I'm going in.
This time Rodney's cock in his mouth was an incredible turn-on. It was less about swallowing Rodney down and more about fucking himself slowly down on Rodney's slick, hot flesh. It was a lot more about the way they were both losing it, incrementally and not at all gently, hanging on by fingernails and threads. Rodney sounded like he was dying with his mouth closed, choked and desperate, worse than when there was an actual audience to hide it from. It made John crazy. He thought about Rodney doing this to him and groaned low and muffled around Rodney's dick.
Oh,
said Rodney softly as he thrust up into John's throat and came. For a little while, John was in that place where he could just swallow and buzz and hump the bed and swallow. Then the need to breathe reasserted itself and he had to pull off. Rodney whimpered when he did, legs trembling and flailing. John pushed them up, pushed Rodney's knees toward his chest, knelt up. Rodney was sprawled, boneless. The whites of his eyes showed under the crescents of his mostly closed lids. His dick was still mostly hard, red, wet, and still pulsing a little.
Oh, God, John thought, grabbing his dick hard to stop himself going over at the thought of thinking what he was thinking.
He could so fuck Rodney like this, slick himself and slide home, fold Rodney up like a package and hold him until he came to with John buried deep inside him.
Maybe another time.
When they talked about the possibility that Rodney was headed for Kinsey Threedom, if nothing else. Sometime when John wasn't 2 seconds from coming. He let Rodney's legs down and pushed himself up over Rodney instead, took his face in his hands and laid kisses all around that slack, shiny mouth.
Nah, said Rodney after a while.
Definitely, said John. He was panting. His dick found a nice, hot, slippery place in the bowl of Rodney's hip, and he rubbed blindly, cried out loud and clearly and helplessly with every stroke, giving himself away, giving himself. He came. Maybe he did a bit of a Rodney too, because he couldn't clearly remember the orgasm ending. Only the next thing he knew, Rodney was saying,
Oh my God, it's the fainting. You get off on the fainting. That's...
Hey, it kind of works for us, don't you think? John said, a little annoyance sneaking in under the muzzy golden glow. He was still half on top of Rodney, who hadn't actually even moved or turned his head to face John, like all his power allotments had been rerouted to his mouth, leaving his body on standby. Typical mismanagement of resources by a non-military mind. John groaned at the residual aftershock that provoked. Rodney might possibly be the best partner ever. John had to admit, though, all unconsciousness-inducing orgasms aside, he wasn't entirely holding up his end. As blowjobs went, that had obviously been a lot better than the first, but by John's standards, it lacked utterly in finesse, or really any skill whatsoever. He didn't want Rodney thinking he was second rate. He wanted Rodney ruined for anyone else's mouth. On the okay, admittedly slim chance that Rodney would choose to explore his new Kinsey status with someone who wasn't John. "I can hear you scheming, you know," Rodney said. "You're just way too coherent right now," said John. "I know I can do better." "In that case, get Carson to give you the spare defibrillator they brought through on the last Daedalus delivery," Rodney said. "They never use them now that they have the ancient heart reboot thingy." "Your heart did not stop," said John. "Mine," said Rodney, turning to face John finally. "Take a look in the mirror, buddy boy." John laughed. He didn't need to. He knew what he would see. Wreckage. Very happy, very satisfied, very screwed beyond belief wreckage. And he was totally going to get to fuck Rodney. Even if it killed them both.
You mean more to me than myself. You've got my heart in a headlock. Will you hold on till the beating stops? I'm begging on my knees. Will you be the death of me? I've got my mind made up in this twisted love. From all that I can see, you'll be the death. The death. Death of me.